Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
This is very free flow.
But Zoe would know because I'm sure she listens in every week, don't you, Zoe?
I mean, that would be torture. Could you imagine? Listening to another comedian's podcast. How awful.
Welcome to Women Talking Bollocks, a podcast where you'll hear, well, three women talking utter bollocks. What you won't hear is anyone nattering on about fashion, makeup, diets, or those blinking Kardashians. I'm not even sure I know who they are, if I'm honest. But what you will hear is some uplifting, irreverent chat with myself, Jen Brister, and my two very dear friends, comedians and women, the very wonderful, if slightly eccentric, Maureen Younger, and the dashing, kind, charisma bomb that is Alison June Smith.
Before we begin this week's podcast, we would like to give a very, very big thank you to our brand new Patreons this week, who are
LA
and Anthony.
LA and Anthony, thank you so much. We are delighted that you've joined us on the WTB train. There'll be more content for you. There will be merchandise available in 2028 and lots of other things to look forward to. We adore you. This week, we are very excited to announce that we have got a wonderful special guest in the form of the brilliant comedian, actor, and now quiz show host. Yes, it's Zoe Lyons.
Woohoo!
And we're very excited. And thanks, Zoe. It's really hard for me to sound sincere, but thank you so much. Thank you so much for doing this. We really appreciate it. You are the person that we've wanted to have on. We were talking about you last year. So we're really, really, really glad that you agreed to do it. So thanks.
And surprised.
And actually surprised.
You know how happy I am to be here. I mean, no disrespect, girls, but what the fuck else am I going to do? Had it been this time last year, I'd have been quite occupied. But I've already cleaned my bathroom with an earbud this morning, so, you know.
That being said, don't you feel good for first time in your life? You've cleaned your bathroom that intensely? Don't you feel like...
Oh, no, Alison, don't. Let's get into that.
Small victories. She hates me. I do this all the time. I'm like, and you know what? Everything happens for a reason.
And then I got to descale my kettle with a toothbrush. And you know what? That made me feel good. I wasted 3 hours.
A better person.
This is genuinely true, Alison. The other day I was stood in my bathroom and I went... Gosh, because I'm living on my own at the moment, I went, gosh, the difference between this flat and my other home is that this one doesn't seem to self-clean. And on occasion, I've opened the fridge and went, oh, for fuck's sake, nobody's bought... Oh, that's me. Oh, it's like watching a rescue dog thrive.
Hey, listen, I think on the whole, you are... thriving and coping very well.
But you two have been sea swimming this week again, haven't you? Bloody hell, ladies.
Before we go any further, I just need to set this up, okay? Because I don't feel like you really need to understand how Zoe got into sea swimming, okay? Basically, I have been sea swimming since May, so gradually becoming accustomed to the temperature of the water as it gets cooler and cooler. From May to August to September, October, it was getting warmer. From sort of middle of October to November, it started to cool down. Just at the point when it was starting to get cold, that is when Zoe started swimming. Not only did she... So I'm going sea swimming now. It's so cold, I can't stay in the water for too long. I've got neoprene gloves, I've got neoprene socks, I've got a swim hat. I'm wearing a sort of swimsuit which covers my back, okay? A Hydra suit. And so he said, yeah, I'm going to come with you. I think I fancy that. I'll give it a whirl. I said, brilliant. So I brought some spare socks and I brought some gloves with me just in case. So Zoe turns up in a bikini.
It's all I've got. I've got a bikini.
No socks, no gloves, just a bikini.
No, and a bobble hat.
Oh, and a bobble hat. And fair play to you, because you have been swimming every day in what in temperatures that are at points have been -8 wind chill, swimming in a fucking bikini, you lunatic.
I don't know what it is about me, but it's in for a penny, in for a pound. And it's like, you know, if you're going to do it and feel it. And yeah, I mean, there was that one day, wasn't there, when we went in with Sean, where I thought I'd lost my hands. Yeah, I thought I was never going to find my hands again. I could see them. I knew they were there, but I thought I'd lost. I was like, they will never feel anything again. Like sort of marigolds on a stick. They were just gone.
Yeah, I said to myself, I can't clench my hands. I can't actually clench my hands. So I had bought, right, really kindly, because it was my birthday, she'd bought custard tarts. So she bought me a custard tart and I remember just smashing it into my face. And I was so cold. So I was like, you've got a little bit of on your face.
It's just on your face.
She's got a little bit of custard. And I got home and I just had custard tart all over my face because my hands were so cold. I didn't know how to wipe it off. I was like, I'll be all right, doesn't matter. So now it is pretty much like the Bahamas out there.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to get a smaller bikini, I reckon. As the summer approaches, I'm thinking maybe thong. Like that would, I mean, you've got to be careful in a thong, haven't you?
Yeah, I don't want to have to spend the whole time looking at you trying to defocus my eyes and squint so I can't see anything too much. What's Zoe doing? I don't know. I'm trying not to look at her, if I'm honest.
I'd be worried it would get cold again real quick one day and, you know, not feeling your hands is not what I would be worried about if you had on a thong, Zoe. I'd be like, you might have lost some bits in that one.
Yeah,
you
might have. With the undercarriage is gone. It's weird where you feel the cold, isn't it? It's always my coccyx. Always my coccyx when I'm in the water. I've no idea. I'm not that close to my coccyx. Well, I mean, I'm closest as anybody is to their coccyx. It's sort of geographically in the right place. But it's always, that's where I always feel it. Jen, elsewhere.
It's always my vag.
It's always a vag.
It's your vag.
Every time we get in the water, I go, oh my God, my vag is aching. It is so cold. I've got vag ache. I clearly have got very sensitive vag.
Clearly I do.
Anyway, I don't want to go into it, but...
So to speak.
I certainly don't want to go into it literally.
Hey, but if you did, you'd feel it. Anyway, moving on. Gross.
Well, that's good been morning. Our week.
Alison, how was your week?
Oh, it was very exciting, you guys. See, Zoe, I'm trying not to talk nonstop about my puppy. So I have been bringing up other exciting topics, such as my boyfriend got food poisoning. Hey, that's exciting. He got really bad food poisoning.
From what? We're in lockdown. I can only imagine that's from you.
Well, here's the thing. I know. My friend was like, if you're killing Danny, just tell me. I was like, I'm not killing Danny. But I found out eye drops will do that to people.
Oh, no, definitely. Yes. When I was a waitress, if anybody pissed you off, you put two eye drops in their food and they had the shits.
And it would give
week.
Them the shits? Yes! I just found that out! I texted that to the girls the other day. I was like, a couple of little drops of eye drops, they get the poops. Too much, though, and you might. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. This is good to know. I'm not quite sure how somebody figured that out, but okay. This is good information to know.
I love that you knew that, too, Zoe. God, that's wonderful. Anyway, so he got food poisoning really bad. We think it was from some chicken that I cooked, but I'm fine. Like, it didn't affect me, but I do have I got one of those stomachs, right? Like, my dad, you know, survived through World War II here, guys. So, like, he was eating God knows what stuff, and I got that stomach. I'm like, I can survive. Eggshells, delicious. Anyway, so I was fine. He got really sick. But the hardest thing about the whole thing was he was out of commission. It was the day Jen and I did a play read online. So I couldn't take care of the pup, and the pup still can't be on its own. So Danny's parents had come to say happy birthday. Oh, it was birthday that day too, everyone.
Oh, nice.
He turned 38 and got food poisoning. I was like, and the worst part was he woke up in the morning and I was like, babe, seriously, 38, let's reflect for a minute. How do you feel? And he sat up and, you know, he was like, you know what? I'm happy. I'm so happy in my life. And I was like, babe, that makes me so happy to hear. Me too. And then an hour later, it was like, I was like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I made you say that out loud. I'm sorry. The universe is like, are you happy? Anyway, so I couldn't take care of the pup. So it was the first time the grandparents took the grandchild for the day. And it was, I know it's so stupid, but like I had never given him up for the day. So I was like, oh, I had to ask you guys, but maybe would you be willing to I know it's a last minute thing. And their faces lit up like, well, if you think it'll help, like they were so excited.
What is he?
He's a Pomeranian.
Are they the little French ones that you always imagine around court and Marie Antoinette would have one and it would just be like trying to eat a cake.
They've got tiny heads.
He looks like a little fox.
He does look like a little fox, and he is very cute. And how did he cope away from his mum?
He didn't want to come back. Basically, what happened when he came back, he was so happy, and then they left, and he just stood at the back door like, no.
Oh.
And so I had to bribe him back into my love with popcorn, so I made popcorn, and we ate popcorn together, and then I got him back because food wins over. I'm pretty sure that's what my parents did with me.
I didn't know dogs could eat popcorn.
Yeah. I take out the bits with the little shells and I just feed them the soft bits and they eat popcorn.
Danny must be looking at the dog going, are you fucking kidding me? I've just been shitting my spleen out in the toilet and you're feeding the dog popcorn.
You're decorning the corn.
Maureen, what about you? How was your week?
I finished a new top. So I've knitted a new top, black top.
Is this the black and silver ditty?
Black and silver top. I also watched Amelia the Play last night, which was, it's obviously not as good as the live version, but it was still, I forgot how great the final speech was. It's all about women not having their voice and being attacked for having a voice, which obviously at the moment is pretty apt. And also, I pre-released a short story called An Ordinary Day, which has got to do with what's been going on with women at the moment, which has been highlighted with what's going on with women. And it's all about how you just go about your ordinary day as a woman and then something awful can happen to you. And it's kind of based on a real event that happened in my life. But, you know, we can all relate to that, isn't it? There's a woman you're just going about and then suddenly your life changes on a sixpence because someone decides to or mug you or assault you or attack you or harass you. So because I just thought there's a bit at the end of the story about an ordinary day and how it affects women, which I thought was quite relevant to what's going on. So I published that.
Okay, cool. Very good. Maureen, you've had a busy week. You've knitted a top. You've written a story.
The story had already been written, but to be fair, I didn't write it this week.
Doesn't matter, Maureen. You don't have to say that.
Just be like, I wrote a story and published it in 2 days.
Just be the person that takes these sort of random inaccurate compliments. And not on top of that, you watched Amelia the Play. I watched Amelia the Play. May I say, I very much enjoyed it. It was very difficult for me to watch my laptop because I've mentioned this before, my laptop, its output doesn't work, so I have to attach it to a Bluetooth speaker, which kept not attaching to my computer. And the only way I could attach it was to reboot my computer. I rebooted my computer and then it said, would you like to update software? I said no. And it went, well, we're doing it anyway. 48 minutes to update this software. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? So I started to watch Amelia Play on my phone. Was watching it on the phone. Then the kids came down. They had a nightmare. Someone's peed on the carpet. Anyway, 4.5 hours later, I finished watching Amelia the Play, but I did enjoy it, Maureen. But I may say it was, all in all, a traumatic experience. Nothing to do with the play. It's really good.
Obviously, it was much better live, but there's some really good lines in it.
It was so funny in parts as well. It was really made me laugh out loud. Yeah.
And the final speech, I cried because we had a bit of a Twitch chat afterwards with some of the people who watched it. Did you cry at the end? I was in tears at that final speech.
I confess, I'm probably going to watch the last 40 minutes again because I was very distracted with the children coming down. So I will probably watch it again. And I think I've got another I can watch it again. I've got it for 24 hours.
You can watch it. You got till the end of the month. And everybody can watch it online, amelialive.com. You can watch it till the 31st of March.
I really hope that it goes back out onto the West End. I mean, it seems unlikely, but it's such a... I'm surprised it wasn't a huge box office smash because it's so well written.
It was at the Globe, and then when it came to the West End, it didn't sell as well. I mean, it's a feminist play, all female cast. I went to the play, and I have to say, if you're actually there, Zoe knows because she's an actor, you know, and we're all live performers, being there in the theatre, it's such a different vibe, and it was fantastic as a woman, because they do things about, you know, mansplaining and stuff like that, and you're just shouting out going, yeah, because we've all been in that position. You know,
it was so funny, yeah, with the bit where she's up in the balcony going, I wrote that, what, I wrote, like, there's a Shakespeare play happening and she's in the balcony going, are you that's me,
kidding me, I wrote that. And then they're talking one point, all the women are talking, this guy goes, quiet please, very important man coming through, and you're like, oh yeah, we've been there before.
I really enjoyed it. It made me miss the theatre, actually, and makes me think, actually, Zoe, I went to one of the last things I went to see in the theatre was you in basically a one-woman play where you just played God.
I still have nightmares now where I'm on stage again and I go, I've forgotten the entire play, which is pretty much what happened to me many nights during the play. My poor friend Tom, who played Gabriel, who is one of the angels, that poor lad... Because about four or five times during the run, I looked at him and I could see, and I had lost where I was completely, and he could see I'd lost where I was completely. And oh God, it's like passing a hospital pass, isn't it, to somebody else on stage? You're like, I'm lost, help me. And then there was a night where I just completely lost it. I think I was thinking about food. This is what happens with me. I'm very much like a Jack Russell. If the thought of food comes in, it takes over everything else. And, I just lost where I was completely. And I turned to Tom playing Gabriel and I went, Gabriel, if you were God, what do you think he'd like to talk about now? And he went, maybe the Ark, Lord? And I went, that's it. Thank you very much. And we went again. That poor kid.
How long was that play? And it was predominantly you speaking for the entire play. It was over
90
an hour.
Minutes. Yeah, 90 minutes.
Is it 90 minutes?
And then a song at the end.
I just remember watching it going, this is one all my anxiety dreams in one thing, where you have to hold the entire play and it's your talking for 90 minutes. I have no idea how you remembered or how you would go about remembering that.
It was really tricky. Yeah, it was really tricky. Yeah.
I still have dreams. Like I can't remember the last time I was in a play where... I get these dreams. This is a recurring dream. I'm about to go on stage and I've got no idea who the character is and I've got no idea. And in my dream, I'm always like, I really wish I'd paid attention in rehearsal. Why? And I was like, I'm always saying to someone, can someone just quickly give me a script? Does anyone have a script just so I can figure out who the hell I am and what I'm supposed to say? It's so stressful.
I have that dream at least twice a month. I have that dream. And I'm usually in a pair of tights holding a sword going, can somebody just tell me the rough outline of the plot?
Yeah.
I just... Look, am I a goodie? Am I a baddie? I've got, oh, and it's, and somebody is holding the script and they're going, no, you should have learned this. And I'm like, Jesus, what do I do with the sword? It's really, yeah, it's awful, awful, awful recurring, common nightmare.
Yeah, I think it's a common nightmare for all actors. I don't know why I'm having it. I'm a stand-up comedian. And if we've all done it, we've forgotten a bit of our show. We've gone, well, it's not Shakespeare. No one will know. Just carry on.
But then do you have those nightmares about not having studied for an exam and that?
Yeah.
I fail my A-levels pretty much, I would say, once a month, twice a month. I fail my A-levels.
I always have the dream I'm back in school and I'm like, why am I having to do this again? I did this. And then like I'll have that moment, that lucid moment in my dream where I'm like, no, I'm dreaming and I will not stay in this math class. And I leave. Yeah.
Do you know what I dreamt last night? I dreamt last night I accidentally married a woman who had massive buck teeth and they could come out.
I mean, I don't need to do much analysing to figure what that was about.
I have no idea what huge buck teeth. And I went, why have I married you? And she went, oh, don't worry, they come out. And I was like, oh my God, that's horrific. And then my mother delivered a suitcase full of dildos. That is genuinely what I dreamt last night.
There is so much in that.
Oh my God. I woke up and I went, did my mum deliver a suitcase full of bright pink sex toys to me last night in my dream? What the hell was that all about? That, I mean, God only knows where that came from. God only knows.
I mean, let's not scratch the end of that dildo.
I'm going to close my internet.
Don't close your internet, Maureen.
I meant my email.
Maureen switches it off at the wall.
I haven't put any makeup on.
Oh, for fuck's sake, Maureen, it's a podcast. Get a grip. We might have to push your boundaries out of it, okay? Right, well, I think it's time to head over to the Be More Maureen corner. Maureen, let's find out what ridiculous thing you've been up to.
Well, I was, in 1994, I was travelling around the world. I was in LA. I was actually on Hollywood Boulevard. And the earth started rumbling and buildings were shaking and people were running. And I thought, oh, my God, they've got a really noisy underground system here. And I couldn't understand why people were running because I thought it was a bit of an overreaction. And then this guy came up to me and went, oh, that was a really bad quake. I went, oh, no, I wasn't here for the quake because there'd been a really bad quake about a month before. And he went, no, there was a quake just now. And I hadn't actually realised it was a quake. I thought they had a really noisy underground system in LA where they don't have an underground. But anyway, and I thought, you know what, this is probably why Brits got this idea of stiff upper lip, is that people think, my God, because the way he looked at me was like, what the hell is this woman on? Because I think I came across incredibly brave, but just that's because I didn't know what was going on.
No, I don't think that's the case. I think he was like, how did you not know that we don't have an underground system in LA? So,
and that it was an earthquake. I mean, yeah. People were running, so that was a clue. But at the time, I just thought
people
it was a
were running for the tube. They were running for the tube. That's what they were doing.
They had to hurry. That last train is just the train left. Yeah.
If I don't get that last train to Encino,
look, I'm a Londoner, you know, because like, you know, in London, you know, I've had a friend who lived over the Northern Line. It was noisy, wasn't it? So
I have never ever, and I've spent most of my life living in London, I've never, ever, ever felt the earth shake and gone, oh, don't worry, it's the District Line.
It all made sense in hindsight, but at the time, I really thought it was just a noisy underground system.
Maureen, I mean, that's why it's a Be More Maureen moment, so let's not analyse it too much. And let's not, I don't know why we're going to Maureen going, well, that doesn't make any sense, because that is the entire point of this section, is that you deliver us a story, Maureen, where we go, what the actual fuck?
Logically.
So have you got any Be More Maureen moments?
I've never misjudged an earthquake.
I was going to say, we've all been there, haven't we?
I'd like to think if I ever, I've never been in an earthquake. I'd like to think if I was in an earthquake, I wouldn't, my immediate thought wouldn't be, God, I've got terrible wind.
That's the next step, is it?
Yeah. Oh, that is, I am so gluten intolerant right now.
We've all got IBS. Let's not make a fuss about it.
Do you know what? If I'd known it was an earthquake, I would have been screaming my head off, I think. So I was actually quite pleased I hadn't noticed.
Do you think then it's yourself protecting yourself from yourself?
I don't think it's that, Zoe, but I don't. I'm going to use that, but it's not.
That might be the most accurate description of Maureen ever. Is it yourself protecting yourself from yourself?
You are very much unlike my flat, which is not self-cleaning, I've discovered. You are self-preserving. You are the armadillo of humankind.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The armadillo of humankind, or yourself protecting yourself from yourself on a T-shirt, please. Thank you very much. Maureen, thank you very much once again for an enlightening Be More Maureen moment. Actually, even though that is possibly one of the most, the weirdest one, that is still not my favourite. Still, last week's is. But anyway, there we go. Thanks very much. You can't beat an argument about a dildo, can you? Now, hey, it's time to move on to our favourite part of the show, Zoe, because this is the only part of the show that has a point to it. It's time to ask Alison.
Go to the gym, get it together, pay your taxes and stop eating chips. Take my advice.
Take my advice.
Cause I ain't using it.
No, no. No, no.
Take my advice. I ain't using it.
This week, our problem, which I was so excited to get because this is a really good one. Someone wrote in, how do I deal with an energy vampire in my life that I cannot get rid of? Often it is a work person that we find the energy vampire. So an energy vampire is basically, let me define, and this is an actual definition, and I like this, an emotionally immature individual who can't see beyond themselves, the world revolves around them. That essentially is at the core of anyone who drains energy. So examples of an energy vampire, people who are narcissists, rageaholics, victims, right? Constant victims, the drama king or queen, control freaks or critics, nonstop talkers, and passive aggressive people. These are all examples of kind of some energy vampiring techniques. So I was like, well, you can't really just cut this person out, right? They might be a family member. Let's be honest. They are a family member, right? I love Zoe. You're like, yeah, it's a family member. Absolutely. I know exactly the aunt. We all know the aunt. Or like I said, a work person. Often there's many people in the work environment. So I was like, okay. I mean, have you all had experiences with energy vampires in your life?
Oh, God, yes. Yes.
We're comedians, so basically every show, yeah.
Edinburgh venues are like those, you know when you see pictures of caves with bats coming out of them? That's Edinburgh, and that's energy vampires.
And you're drained. Like, I remember I had a friend for years, and I used to think, God, I'm so exhausted after just having a coffee with her. And I was like, because I didn't talk and I listened the entire time. And it was like nonstop. She was one of those non-talkers. Anyway, it was it's very interesting. So energy. So this is what I looked into what you can do. Here we go. Here's some advice for what you can do. And I always take it back to oneself because this is you. Okay, so number one, trust your gut instincts. The only way you will keep good instincts and be able to set up efficient boundaries is if you're keeping in touch with yourself. The more you work on yourself and give yourself self-care, what I like to call the daily self-reflective practice. Okay, so you just take a few moments out of the day. I don't care if it's meditating, journaling, yelling at a wall, going for a walk, just something where you are with yourself, because you have to be grounded within yourself to know what your boundaries are with these people. Prepare for encounters. Okay, so when you know you're going to run into this person, what are some things that you can do? Well, perhaps always set it up that there's other people around so they are draining more than just you. So try to do group activities, all right? Yes. I know sacrificing friends is not a good thing, but in these situations, we know what's going on. So plan for group meets as much as you can. Provide a listening ear, but always end it with ending statements. Right? Like if they're a victim, that is so awful to hear. You know where you could probably get some good information on that? Here. And walk away and leave it. End statements. Don't ask further questions. Be careful with your sympathy. Yes, you can be kind. You can be loving. But I'm telling you, you give an inch, they're going to take a mile. So you are doing yourself and them a service by cutting it off early, everyone. Cut it off. Send them to someone else. Set boundaries. If they are discussing subject matter, Maureen, you brought up this, subject matter that you don't want to hear about, be straight up about it. Or be like, hey, listen, I appreciate you're going through a lot, but I myself have had an experience with that, and I don't really like to talk about it. Bit of a trigger. If you take it back to you and go, nope, I'm not doing it, they have no choice but to back off, right? So absolutely cut it off. If you don't want to talk that subject matter, you don't have to. Tell them no. Don't take the bait. Like I said, follow-up questions or follow-up statements, or if they try to bring you in, don't take the bait. Have a touchstone friend that you can contact immediately after seeing this person, that they can bring you back into the realm of reality and just be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I love you. And they give you energy, right? So have the giving energy person that you can immediately contact afterwards. Adjust your expectations for this person. You're not going to change them. This is who they are. So you have to pre-plan to be able to deal with them. That's on you, unfortunately. And I think that's everything I got for this week. Those are some tactics that you can use to deal with the energy drainers in your life.
Thank you very much for that, Alison. That is, as always, wonderful advice. I have a friend in inverted commas. I could honestly say that I can say whatever I like about her on this podcast. I can even give you her postcode and telephone number. I know she won't be listening because she's a complete narcissist. But she is one of those people that I cannot get out of my effing life. She offers nothing in the relationship. I think she's almost certainly a narcissist, probably borderline sociopath. But I've known her since I was very, very young, like a child. And I feel like the only thing we have in common is that we've known each other for, I don't know, 40 years. My children are 6. She doesn't even know their names.
She's never asked.
No.
I mean, I ask and forget, but, you know, at least I've made the initial effort. And they're lovely girls. I've had friends in the past where it's been that, where you just, where you put the phone down, you go, I feel worse after that conversation than I did before I spoke to them. But then I must be such a people pleaser that I go back again to make sure. Like, I'll phone them again. Like, I'll give that another go. And then I'll go back and I'll come off the phone and go, no, I still don't feel good after that. I'll leave it a while. And then I'll go back again, like, to check. And I'm like, no, there's absolutely nothing there.
You know what I would say? Every time you have a conversation with that person, I want you to write down a statement of how you feel. And then the next time you go back to contact them, I want you to read that statement to yourself before you make the call. That's it.
That's a good idea, actually.
That's it.
I mean,
yeah.
The trouble is with this person is I don't call her and I know how I feel about her. Still can't get rid of her. Hey ho. Anyway, Alison, as always, wonderful advice. Thank you very much.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Is the show called? Oh yeah, I've got it. We've been talking bollocks. Yeah, okay. Is everyone happy with that? I think it's time now to talk about what we've been watching on television. But before we do that, I would like to direct this to Zoe Lyons, who herself has hosted her own television show and actually has not stopped being on our television screens since the beginning of the year.
Yeah, it's a bit weird that. Yeah, it's been a bit much.
It's been relentless. If anything, I don't put the television on anymore because I can't bear to see your face.
I'm well, even my own mother messaged me the other day and she went, you're on the bloody telly again. I'm like, sorry, Mum. I'm really sorry. It'll stop now. It's come to an abrupt halt.
Is it weird for you too because like you're on the telly so much nonstop right now, but you're like, I'm so bored in my life. So it looks like you're like nonstop, but you're like, I'm doing nothing right now, actually, guys. This is all from before. It must be a weird juxtaposition.
It is a weird thing. I think, you know, because it's a beautiful example in life. It beautifully demonstrates you can't have it all at any one time. You can have bits of life and bits of it are great, and then other bits are, let's say, immensely shit. But you can't have it all. You can't have it all. You can have bits of it. And it's been really weird because, I mean, that hosting Lightning was the biggest job I'd ever done, and I was really pleased to do it, and I was very proud of what I did. And then it went out on television at a time when I was not able to go out and see what people were thinking about it at all, living in my divorced dad flat and watching other people's televisions in other flats across the way, sort of almost seeing myself reflected in other people's televisions.
Oh, that is just weird.
Yeah. But not being able to have any sort of contact with people properly about, you know, it's nice. I've got a nice thing happening. It's like, no, we're all locked up. Nobody can tell you. So it's a bit strange. Yeah, it's a funny thing. You can't have it all at any one time. And it's a very interesting lesson to have in life. It really is. I've quite enjoyed the sort of trauma of it in a way.
in a way, like, I mean, it is, it's kind of crap that you can't be out in the world and get any feedback or have any understanding of how people feel about it or what's going on.
Yeah.
But at the other same time, everyone's at home.
Yeah, that's true.
And much more likely to be watching television at that time. And so, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You can't have it all. You have one bit and not the other. So, yeah, swings and rat, the yin and yang of life. Yeah.
But for anyone who hasn't watched it, it was on at 6:30 p.m. on BBC Two from Monday to Friday. I watched it. It was brilliant. I thought it was really great. It was not what I expected because there was a lot of stuff happening and it was like, I was not expecting that to happen. Like, when they get told to do like puzzles, but sort of kind of physical challenges. I wasn't expecting that. And it was really good. And also, that is no mean feat to keep that going because you've got to talk when literally just someone's just doing a task and fucking it up.
It was only when we got in the studio, it was only when all the lights went on, it was only when the contestants took their places that I went, I haven't a fucking clue what I'm doing. And I suddenly went, nobody's asked me if I have a clue what I'm doing. Nobody's sat me down and gone, do you know what you're doing? Because I'd have lied, but... And then I had the director at my ear sort of giving me... And I went, I have no idea what he's asking me to... I don't know any of... I learnt in an hour. I was Googling television terminology under the podium.
Well done.
give us an example, because you gave me an example of one thing that was being said to you by a director and you were like, I don't know what this means.
So I'm watching the auto cue and then it's sort of going, Ron Grams. And I'm like... I don't know what that is. I don't know what Ron Grams is. I don't know. It's Ron Grams. I mean, Ron Grams. That's what I Googled it. And I went, oh, it's the jingle. That's the jingle. Right, just smile through the jingle. Smile through the jingle. Smile through the jingle. Yeah. What I've learned in life is if you're not sure, just admit it. It just, you know, there is strength. There is absolute strength in displaying your weaknesses sometimes.
Vulnerability is the key. Yes.
Vulnerability is the key, but it will kill you sometimes.
Only when you're swimming in the sea in a bikini in minus. No, go on.
I've spent most of the last 7 months feeling like a de-shelled hermit crab going, I'm a crab, I'm a crab, I'm a crab.
Do you know what I love about this? This is like a classic stand-up comedian story, isn't it? You've got no idea how to do it. You don't know what the fuck's going on. Someone turns the lights on, shoves a mic in your hand. You go, I'll blag it. You'll be all right.
Yeah. That's why comedians are so good at doing these things, isn't it? Like an actor, I think. No disrespect to actors, but I think I'd have a meltdown.
How much am I getting paid? Oh, yeah, I can do it.
Yeah.
You never say no to the gig. Like, that's the thing. I would never be like, if anyone offered an opportunity like that, right, you just say yes. Absolutely. Wonderful. This is a dream, of course.
It's on a crane. You're doing somebody else's material and you're blindfold. How much is it? $6,000. I'll do it. Okay, there we are. You do it. You do it. Of course you do it. And also, the very idea that you, as a comedian, have to prepare for anything is absurd to us. We're like, what do we need to prepare for? I remember being backstage. I'm sure we've all been like, done this. And there's been like somebody doing a character act or there's an actor that's just trying to do a bit of stand-up. And we're all having a chat in the green room. And they're like, oh, how can you do that? How can you not get in the zone? And we're like, I am in the zone.
Talking about TV, I watched Bridgerton because Jen recommended it to me. And like most things, when Jen recommends me, I ignore them. So I just didn't take her advice. And then eventually, I was having a bit of a shit weekend. I thought, I'll just watch it for 10 minutes. And I ended up watching about 5 episodes all in one go. It's fantastic. Jen, I don't know if you know this, Zoe. Jen, there's a really hot guy in it. And when there was a love scene, Jen and Chloe were looking at the bloke rather than the girl. Woman,
well,
I should say.
He is beautiful.
Ugh.
He is beautiful. I mean, listen, I mean, I think after these last 12 months, we can say anything could happen. So I'm on the edge. I'm enjoying the Six Nations on television and it's not for the rugby. So it's just a confusing time for everybody.
But honestly, I thought it was brilliant. And I actually guessed correctly. And unfortunately, I got her name wrong on Twitch. There's a woman there called Lady Whistledown. And I kept referring to her as Lady Dishwater.
Where did dishwater come from?
I don't know, but I was boasting about the fact that I realised who Lady Dishwater was. And there's nothing worse when you're boasting when you actually get the name of the person wrong, isn't there?
Yes. So close.
But Bridgerton is fantastic. I recommend it. I also saw Bloodlands, which was disappointing.
Yeah, I saw Bloodlands was very disappointing ending. A very disappointing series.
I tried to watch it, ladies, and I was out halfway through. I was like, no, can't do it.
There we are. But I'm glad you enjoyed Bridgerton. What a show. I hated it to begin with and then
Did
gradually
you?
Warmed it. Yes, I thought it was a pile of crap. But literally, I hate watched it.
And gradually, as I hate washed it, I really started to get into it. And by the end of it, I was heterosexual. I don't know what to tell you. So there we are.
But he is stunning.
Oh my God. And he's also a good actor. He plays that character really well.
He has three facial expressions, to be fair.
That's all he needs.
That's all he needs. You're not looking at his face.
And I noticed that it's the sex expression, the sort of wry look expression, and the I'm in love with you expression.
I'd argue there's two looks too many in there.
I think if he had the permanent sex look, though, that would be off-putting.
And his body, I mean, you can tell he goes to the gym, I suspect.
I mean, his body was ridiculous. Look, I don't want to delve into it because actually it's making me question a lot of things about me, which I've thought were sorted. Zoe, what have you been watching? Have you been watching anything on the television?
I'm really bad at getting into series of things because it feels like such a commitment. And, you know, as you probably gathered, I can't sit still for long. So it's too like how many episodes? And how? Oh, God, no. So I watch Pap. I watch absolute just sugary pap on television. My guilty secret is things like A Place in the Sun. I bloody love it. I love watching because it's me. It's so shit. And, these people who clearly can't use the internet and find their own sodding houses go out to awful places in the sun and get taken. And they're like, I love the view. I love the view. And you're like, it's just four cranes and a working, there's such a fucking building site. And they're like, oh, this is everything I dreamed of. And I love it because it's so appalling, absolutely appalling. Just British women in maxi dresses, trolling around the Canary Islands, looking at crappy flats. It's my idea of pure heaven.
I love it. I love that they're all buying properties in Europe post-Brexit. I can't wait to spend 3 weeks of the year in this £500,000 house.
I also love it because you know the sort of awkwardness of filming something like that where they go, right, Maureen and John. Sorry, I don't know why I said Maureen.
Because you were looking directly at her.
I was looking directly at Maureen, yeah. You go into the kitchen and have a little chat about the kitchen. So they go into the kitchen and go, oh, it's the kitchen. You go, of course it's the fucking kitchen. And what did he think? He's just got a cooker in the corner and a fridge and daft trollop. So, yes, that's what I've been watching mostly angrily.
Well, yeah. I think of any escapism television is what we're all yearning for. I have started, and I don't seem to mind starting at the beginning of something and spending 18 hours a day of my life watching it. I've been watching Parks and Recreation.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, well, I'm going to preface it by saying that the first series is not good. In fact, the pilot episode, I would go so far as to say, is bad. And the character that Amy Poehler plays changes and has a kind of a bit of a big, like they've obviously, the writers have gone, she's actually really annoying. And they've done a lot of development. And then in the second series, they've made her a much rounder, fuller, less annoying character. And she's great. And you fall in love with her and she's wonderful. I wish they'd done that with her at the beginning. So if anyone hasn't watched it, I would start series two.
I confirm with that. And you won't miss anything by not seeing one. You'll be fine. You'll catch up. It's ace. Yeah.
Yeah, but it is brilliant and it is complete escapism. And the episodes are like 20 minutes and it's to replace Schitt's Creek.
Oh, God, I love Schitt's
so
Creek.
So Parks and Rec is the one where, like, if I'm feeling like I just dip in and out. So it'll probably take me like 2 years to film watching it, but I'll just dip in and out. And every now and again, that's what I love about it. I just dip in and go, oh, we've just watched blah, blah, blah. I mean, I tell you why. Chloe and I watched the second series of Save Me, and it is heavy going. It's about the disappearance of a child, of a young teenage girl. And in the first series, he tries to find his daughter. And it's called Save Me, and it is about saving his daughter, but it's also about saving himself and also somebody, another young girl that is also being trafficked or being used for sex, basically, against her will. So it's very dark. It's got very dark content. It's brilliantly acted. It's a really brilliant series. But by the end of the second series, Chloe and I were like, oh, my God, we need something to lighten this. And so that's why we went straight into Parks and Rec, and it was great. But I can recommend both. If you want to watch Save Me, it's on Now TV, and there's two series there for your delight. And it's a series that was written and created by Lenny James, and it's brilliant. And he's absolutely outstanding in it. And our dear friend Kerry Godleyman has a part in it as well.
I just signed up for Now TV for one of those free week things, and now I realise that I'm trapped forever.
I did that with Apple to watch Ted Lasso, and I just got another message going, $4.99 has been taken out of your account. I was like, I only wanted to watch Ted Lasso, and now
same thing just happened to me, and I'm like, oh, this is...
And I know what I'm like. I got that, and I was like, I could cancel it now, and I'll do it tomorrow, and then next month. I just $4.99, it's just coming out of your account. I'm like, oh, Bristol, why are you such a bell end? I don't know. There we are. Before we finish the TV section, we should find out from Alison about her horror choice of the week.
Oh, yeah, because I'm a horror buff, Zoe. I love crappy horror films. That's basically what I fill my time with because I want no commitments. And, you know, I like horror movies. I've always been a big fan. So this week, sticking with the emotional vampire theme, because I always try to tie in my horror movie with my advice because, you know, those two things go together really well. I have decided to recommend a horror movie, a horror comedy that Maureen, I think even you would like. It is called What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, yes.
And it is a very funny movie about a group of vampires living in modern day times. And just the take on it and the way they present it is hysterical. And the reason why I wanted to recommend that movie in particular is because then I want to branch off and recommend even more the TV series What We Do in the Shadows, which was unbelievably hilarious. To me, this is one of the best horror comedies I have seen in years. And there is an actual emotional energy vampire. So you have all these other vampires, and then you've got the one emotional energy. And just watching him and the way he drains people at work and what... It is absolutely hysterical. I can recommend the movie, and I can recommend the TV series. It's horror, but it's comedy, it's light, and yeah, I just highly recommend it. Maureen, I think even you would enjoy either one of them. I really do.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not a horror fan and I loved it.
Did you?
I hate horror. I hate horror.
It's not like a horror. It's not horror at all.
It's not scary.
It's not. No. It's a comedy and it just has vampires as the characters. It's basically a mockumentary about a group of vampires. So it's not, there's no, I mean, like, it is horror in as much as that the characters are vampires, but that's where the horror begins and ends. And it is really, really funny.
I've never seen anything like it. And I was like, what a great take on the idea of like vampires and the mockumentary. And then when the TV show came out, it puts such a smile on my face even thinking about them. Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you, Alison, for the another wonderful recommendations. Actually, after last week's, which just sounded bloody terrifying, I can get behind these two. It's about time you read the room, frankly.
Lighten it up a little?
Yeah.
You got it. No problem, guys. No problem.
And now it's going to be Maureen's Cultural Corner. I haven't started it, Maureen.
Hello.
I'm going to start that again. So now it's time, of course, we're nearing the end of the podcast, but it's time to culture our corner with Maureen Younger. Let's stick our thumb in your yoghurt. What have you got for us?
Well, in honour of Zoe, who obviously is a fantastic actor, I'm talking, and Zoe might actually know it, there's an acting TV series from the BBC from 1987. It was six workshops. And it deals with Jonathan Miller talking about opera, Janet Suzman about Shakespearean comedy, Simon Callow about Restoration comedy, Mariah Aitken about high comedy, and the two that I've watched, Brian Cox about tragedy and Michael Caine about acting in films. And particularly the Michael Caine one is a really famous... If you want to know anything about acting in film, I learned more in this hour watching this than I did going to drama school. It is fantastic. It just shows you all the little tricks, how to act towards camera. There's a thing where he shows that if you use one eye to look at somebody rather than the other eye, what a difference it makes. And it's unbelievable. And also what's interesting, there's a young actor there who is getting very entitled, is getting very annoyed that Michael Caine keeps giving him direction. You think, this is Michael Caine. Do you know what I mean? And it's in parts that he did. It's, you know, it's educating Rita. And it just shows you how to act, you know, and it's so insightful. It's very highly regarded and it's definitely worth watching. You can buy the DVDs, but it's probably easier to watch it on YouTube.
We've established, Maureen, wherever possible, people aren't buying DVDs, are they?
I know, but I think, you know, if you can, you can afford it, you should. But
can I get it on Betamax?
quite possibly they did have them in Betamax. And also you see the difference between somebody like Michael Caine doing it and then one of the students. And there's a very young Celia Imrie there. She's one of the students, as well as a very young Kathy Tyson. Yeah.
Kathy Tyson. Kathy Tyson came up to me on the tube once and said, oh, I saw you doing stand-up at blah, blah, blah. You were really funny. And I went, you're Kathy Tyson. She went, oh. She said, oh, don't go on about it, sort of thing. No, she was like this, oh, no, don't go on about it, don't. And I was like, and then we got off at the tube at the same spot, and I went, it was really nice to meet you. And she went, yes, I'll look out for you. And I was like, okay, bye, Kathy Tyson. That's my Kathy Tyson story. It's just another classic. Jen Bristol meets somebody she likes and makes a fool of herself.
You know, so if you're starting to be an actor, if you're an actor and you're doing your first TV show or film, or even you're just interested in acting, it's really worth watching to see all those little tricks, like finding your mark. He gives a really good way of how to find your mark really easily. And I was thinking, oh, I wish I'd known that before I've done a few films. Finding the mark, for those people who don't know, is like you've got to stop at a certain point so the camera can see you properly. And if you pass it or you stopped before it, you're out of focus. And you've got to try and hit it without obviously looking at it. And then it becomes Acorn Antiques. So it's all that. It's all those little tricks and skills that just make you a better actor for film.
So I think acting on screen is so different. And the few times that I've done it and I've seen the rushes back... of what I've done, and I've gone, I mean, I just look like I'm having a stroke for about 3 minutes.
Michael Caine says he never looks at rushes. He goes, you should never look at rushes, because all you do, he goes, you look at yourself, you don't look at the whole thing.
Of course. That's how I know I look like I was having a stroke, Maureen. Maureen, thank you very much for that cultured corner. Who'd want to be a Kardashian? That just seems grim. Can we stand by that, everyone? We are now pretty much at the end of the podcast. But before we say goodbye to our amazing, incredible, fantastic, wonderful guest, Zoe Lyons, I guess it's time to end on a song. Okay, good.
Oh, God. We've decided to forego the song this week. At the end, we always like to touch base with Jen just to see like what's been going on and what's been getting Jen's goat this week. So, Jen, what's been rubbing you the wrong way this week?
Well, I wish it would rub me the right way. Anything, in fact. But there's been no rubbish. See what's been getting my goat. I think that I have lived in a bubble of arrested development for my entire existence. And it's only upon hitting the age that I am now, which is, and I'm not ashamed to say it, although it's a fact, 46 years of age, that parts of my body are now not functioning in the way that they used to. And it's a whole new world for me. I have had a bad hip. I've had a bad hip, okay, for about 2 days. I'm 46. Why do I have a bad hip? I'll tell you why I have a bad hip. Because my orthotic insoles have stopped working. Okay? I am 46 years of age. I wear orthotic insoles that aren't working. And now my hip is gone. That is what is getting my goat. I'm 46, not 86. What the fuck is going on with my body? Why am I getting old? I mean, I understand I'm getting old. It's aging. That's what's getting my go. I'm just, the level of surprise that I have about my body not functioning in the way that it did even 10 years ago. I'm constantly amazed that my knees are going, my hips going. That's what's getting my go. Just that. The end.
But you need just new insoles, Jen. That's all. You just invest in new insoles. Because look, please don't take this the wrong way, but I look at you and I go, you've got a couple of really good years left in you. So,
thanks, Zoe.
Support that the best way you can with possibly one or maybe even two built-up shoes.
The fact that I have to wear orthotic insoles is a little bit embarrassing because it limits what shoes I can wear. I can only wear trainers or boots. I can't wear shoes
anymore. I know,
but
thank God.
Oh, yeah, because all those high-heel shoes are out the window.
Yeah, you were getting out of control with those stilettos, Jen. It was embarrassing.
Those stilettos are gone.
Please, can I have your Jimmy Choo's? Oh. Don't throw them out, Jen, because they're worth a fortune. I mean, the fuck me pumps that you walk around in are just, you know, divine. God.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I won't be able to slip into those bad boys anymore. And what a shame that is, because I think they really do put my bottom in the right position. Anyway, which is bent over because I can't walk in them. Anyway.
I quite like having a heel on. It's just something about it I do quite like. I quite like, you know.
I wear heels to go on stage. I always like wearing heels when I'm on stage.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I can't wear heels at all because they are absolute agony.
I mean, I can't walk in them. I need to be carried somewhere and then put down and then carried off again. Yeah.
But I look like I'm wearing... why is that woman in stilts? I'm not, but I'm just walking like I've got stilts on because I don't know how to walk in these fucking shoes. I think being able to walk in stilettos, that's a... Do some women, is that a genetic gift?
It's practice, basically. And I think as you get older, it's harder. I used to wear heels. Not the heels that they wear now, but, you know, 1980 heels, which were a lot shorter. But now I'm in flats all the time. I think it's an age thing as well.
I'm going to start wearing a heel. I'm going to go the other way.
In a bikini. Heels in a
showing
bikini.
Showing up for the sea swim in your heels. Yeah.
I'm going to come out of lockdown a very, very different lesbian.
Yeah, some heeled flip-flops and a thong.
Yeah, just walking along Hove seafront in high heels and a thong.
You've changed. So thank you very much for joining us. It's been such a bloody delight.
Thank you for having me.
Is there anything you'd like to plug or talk about? Or say, come and see this, watch this.
I mean, you can look at my social media, but I'm sure you'd have the same amount of interest that I do in it. Not very much. I mean, just flick through it. I mean, it's, you know, I'm more interested in living with my real life. But anything to plug? Absolutely nothing at the moment. The wonderful thing about 2021 is I've got very little to look forward to, therefore very little to lose. So I'm seeing that as a positive.
Says the woman who hasn't been off our television screens for the entire 2021.
Sorry. Yeah. But, you know, hopefully there'll be a bit more of that later in the year. But live stuff, I mean, I'm being very cautious booking stuff in because it's we'll see how things pan out. But all I would say, if you see me in the street, come and say hello. There you go. That's plugged in. Let's plug meeting as genuine people and saying hello to
each other. Sorry, that's lovely. If you see me in the street, please ignore me. Okay, just want to make that very clear. Not as friendly as Zoe Lyons. Zoe, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you. You know we all adore you.
Thank you very much.
Zoe will be joining us also on our new material night on the 5th of April with Shazia Woo-hoo! Mirza and ourselves. We will all be endeavouring to try out material that we've never said before.
Or written yet.
I know, yeah. I'll do that this afternoon.
You can go to our WTB Facebook page and all the information will be there.
Women Talking Bollocks. Thanks so much for listening. Please do continue to like and subscribe on our Acast page or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you enjoyed today's episode,
leave a wonderful message saying how much you enjoy our dulcet tones, particularly mine.
And we're also on Patreon now, so we're going to be sharing extra content and we'd love you to join us there.
Join us.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.